Paula Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gorman in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 29th of September 2009 and the time is 5:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
Yeah, my name's John Savage. I'm 47 years old and I'm from Chesterfield in Derbyshire.
And have you travelled to London especially for your hour on the
plane? Yes, I have, yes. Yeah.
And how was it arriving at the square this morning? Was it how you imagined it would be soon?
Yeah, I mean, I came down a couple of months back to see when the project kicked off, and that's what prompted me to register on the project in the first place. So I came down early to do a little bit of photography, get the atmosphere, and just see how it was.
And when you came a couple of months ago and saw the project, what was it about it that inspired you to apply?
Yeah, I mean, it looked kind of interesting, and I quite like the concept of having a totally diverse cross-section of people where there's no right and there's wrong thing to do. And I think from a personal point of view, I could sort of see the opportunity there to sort of get on the plinth and do some photography from there and get a unique opportunity, some unique photos hopefully from that.
And are you a photographer by
trade? It's a secondary business, so I've got my own website, and it's something that's increasingly becoming a bigger part of my life.
And have you been doing that for a long while? Or
yeah, I've been doing it for some time, but it's only in the last couple of years really that it's really sort of taken off. I travel quite a bit. I like to see the world, and the more I see and the more I travel, the more I want to travel. And being able to combine photography with travel is always a good thing. And it's just really stemmed from there.
And do you travel for pleasure, or is that through other
It's strictly for pleasure, really. So I've been very, very lucky in my life. I've sort of travelled quite a bit. I do have a qualification as a chef as well, which isn't, it's never been a profession, but it's something that I thought I'd do through college in my spare time. So being able to combine photography, enjoying food and cultures from my foreign travel, it's a great way to see the world.
And what is it that you do then for a kind of mainly?
Yeah, I'm a civil servant actually. I've been a civil servant for a long time. And I think because of the lack of creativity in my work, I seem to find that my hobbies and interests compensate for the sort of mundane office-based job that I do sort of 4 days a week.
And how do you balance your time then? How have you managed to fit all these things?
Well, Monday to Thursday I'm a civil servant, and evenings I'm a photographer, and Friday is my day of photography. Along with Saturday and Sunday if required. So it's a busy lifestyle, always on the go.
And what is it about photography that got you started?
I think it's creativity. I think it's just the that sort of drive, that sort of hope that you're going to find that shot that's so memorable, and something that you're really satisfied with.
And do you manage to get work then as a photographer as well?
Yes, yeah, and with setting up the website, that's really sort of like brought in a lot of work and an awareness as well. So, but the whole thing about the website is really it's a sort of sounding board for my work, and it means that I am sort of quite diverse in the things that I cover, because I think it's easier to get sort of stayed in one particular type of work, and I like to keep broadening my horizons and pushing the boundaries a little bit. So,
and what kind of work is it that you do get? Or that you
everything really. I mean, from landscape work to fashion work, travel work, everything really. There's nothing really that I haven't had a go at, but there's a sort of moral issue, I suppose, on photographic work that I will or won't do. I want my work to be very, very tasteful. I want it to be shown to a large section of people, and with any type of art it's always a bit divisive. Nothing's ever going to appeal to everybody, and everyone will have an opinion on it. But I think sometimes the line gets a bit blurred when it comes to photography as to what is tasteful, what isn't. And my aim is always to sort of be proud of the work that I do and be able to show to a large audience as opposed to a few. So.
And is the photography business something that you would hope takes more of a part of your life.
Yeah, but again, even at 47, because of my desire to fit in as much as I can into my life, I'm not really wanting to sort of dedicate myself to something or be totally committed, because there's an element in me that wants to travel and see more of the world and enjoy good things in life. I think sometimes if you're in business and you are dedicating yourself to that, it's at the expense of something, you know, it's actually expensive living perhaps. So.
And the chefing side of things, where did that fit?
Well, it's always something that I used to like entertaining, and I was sort of went to college to sort of see about sharpening my skills up as much as anything else, and there wasn't any particular course at this open day that I went to, other than to qualify as a full commis chef, which they said it would be difficult because it wasn't my profession. But 2.5 years at college, and I, you know, achieved everything that I needed to. But as I say, I've never used it or never see it as going to be a profession, but it's been very, very handy for me, and it's something that I really, really enjoy, because again, it's kind of art based, it's creative. And it's something very, very different from what I do in the week. But again, sort of about 3 years ago, I went to college and got a qualification as a landscape gardener and a garden designer. So again, it's another creative thing. It's another art based. But whether that actually is ever realised as a career, who knows? It's just an option in the future.
And do you have plans to learn anything else?
Always learning, really. You know, I mean, I never sort of say never to anything. I think that's the thing about life. You make choices, and if an opportunity comes along, I can either take it or leave it. If I leave it, I'll leave it behind, and I don't sort of like regret it. I'll get on with my life and just try and put it behind me. But if you feel like you want to take it, why not? You know, it's that's what life's about. It's always that's being varied and being a little bit different, perhaps.
And with the travelling, have you always kind of pushed to be able to do that? Has that been easy to
No, it's only in recent years, really, that I've really started to travel a lot more. I don't really know why, but I think travel fuels travel. The more that you see of the world, the more cultures that you see, the more you know there's out there, and it creates a little bit of a... Well, yeah, I suppose you're sort of uneasy, really, because you just like realise that you're not going to have enough, time in your life, perhaps, to sort of fit in everything that you want to. It makes you a little bit frantic, because even now, you know, for all that I live my life to the max, I know that whenever the time is, I want to have, you know, done everything I want to do, because there's always things that I'm discovering, you know, every day, so...
And what are the things that are important to you in life at the
moment? Personal happiness. I mean, somebody once told me that a relationship is an extension of an already happy life. And I never used to really follow that. I always used to look to other people to make me happy. And for whatever reason, you know, relationships come and go. And you find yourself sort of picking up the pieces and dusting yourself down and starting life again. And the older you get, the more you sort of learn that, you know, it's nobody can really make you happy. You've got to be happy yourself. And, you know, when the right relationship comes along, that's fine. You know, you enjoy it for what it is.
And coming back to the plinth, are you going to be bringing your photography skills to the plinth?
Yeah, that's what I'm planning to do. I mean, I'm working with Ashgate Hospice, who I did a Christmas card design for them this year. And when I was successful on my application for the plinth, I thought that my appearance on there might be a sort of like a vehicle of to transport their name and give them some media coverage for something that is a very worthy sort of organisation, and they do a lot of fundraising for this hospice, where palliative care is given to the person suffering the terminal illness, but also helping the family live the life and help them through. It's not something that I've personally had much dealings with, although I have been in situations where, you know, I've come into contact with people who've got terminal illness, but it's not sort of any particular reason. But I thought, well, if I was up there doing my photography, I can give them the coverage and we both gain out of it. So.
And what will you be doing with the photos that you take?
Probably criticising them because I'm never really happy. It sounds wrong that perhaps, but I'm always looking for perfection. And although I know it doesn't exist, I still aim high. And I'll probably come down after the hour and have a look back at them and think, oh, that photo could have been so much better if I'd done this, or so much better if I'd done that. But the main thing is to get some unique photos to remember the day by, but also put them on my website just to sort of show, you know, that I was there, but also give Ashgate Hospice the opportunity to use those photos and any of the publicity, and you know, any support I can give them will be, you know, worthwhile. So.
And why have you chosen to do those two things on the clip over anything else?
I think it's a very, very difficult decision, really, because when I found out that I'd been successful, it gives you a dilemma, because you sort of like think, well, I don't want to come down after the plinth and sort of think I could have done something so much better, or I wasted that opportunity. And I think really, if I can give them the publicity but yet do something that is important to me, we're both gaining out of it. If I was doing something that I was not really committed to, I'd feel as though it's half-hearted. And I'm a 100% person. I'm, you know, either totally committed or I'm not. So this is something that I feel as though I can actually enjoy, see something tangible for, and hopefully, you know, Ashgate will feel the same.
And do you have any expectations about your hour on the plinth?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that I'm looking for really is actually not to fall off it, first of all, but I think it will probably go quite quickly. I think it's going to be one of these things where there's no going back. You're kind of committed to it because you've got people supporting you and watching you, and people know of you. But it's nothing you can prepare for. So I'm just going to go up there, take a deep breath, just go for it. As soon as I'm on there, I'll be fine. But I think there's this mixture of adrenaline and anticipation and the unknown. And it's a strange recipe. It's a strange mixture.
What's the impact that you'd like to have by going up and doing what you're doing?
It's one of these things. The impact is probably another chapter in my own life. I've had lots of interesting chapters, very varied experiences, many of them sort of generated by myself and just taking the opportunity when they've appeared. And I suppose in a way it's another one to add to that, to show that I'm still alive and kicking and still making the most of every day.
And have you taken part in arts projects before?
Not particularly, no. I mean, although I'm art-based and sell my work and sell my photographic work, not particularly an arts project, no, but this had some kind of strange appeal. I mean, I do know the work of Anthony Gormley, you know, and have photographed some of his work in the past, but never actually sort of been involved or taken part.
And how would you describe your experience with this project so far?
Yeah, excellent. I mean, it's so well organised, it's very good. I mean, in some ways, if I'd been unsuccessful with my application, it might have been easy because it's been 2 months on the horizon. And you feel like there's a sort of... If you're taking it seriously and you want to do it right, you've got a sort of an obligation. It's difficult because there's a lot of thought's got to go into it, and I didn't just want to waste it. So having been successful, it throws a dilemma, really. But having settled on an idea, it's just a case of then of exploring it and making it happen.
And what does the opportunity mean to you to be one of the 2,400 printers?
It's I can't say it's unique, because there's 2,399 other people, but to me it's unique, and that's the most important thing. It's to be bracketed with the project, and having said that, I've taken part in it when loads of other people have applied, and I dare say a lot more people would have applied having seen it. It's a great sort of like honour almost, really. Yeah.
And thinking back to your profile on the website, you were asked to put three words that describe you. Do you remember what you put in there?
Yeah, unpretentious. Because I hate pretentiousness. I would rather people just be themselves. In a society in which we live, where I think so much pretentiousness, it's difficult sometimes to strip back the facade that people put up and create to find the real person. And I hope, although I wear my heart on my sleeve and you can sort of get hurt that way, I would rather be myself and just, even if I'm the odd one out in a group of 99 other people, I'd rather stand up for and be myself rather than just be, you know, a sheep in a flock.
And obviously you're supporting the Ashgate Hospital.
Yeah.
Who would you say that you're doing this for?
Really, it's for the fundraising team as much as anything else. A great group of people. There's six girls who work for the hospice, and they have to raise sort of £1.8 million a year to support the money that the NHS give them. And that's a huge order, especially in a time of recession and where money's obviously more difficult to come by. But their work is so worthwhile. I mean, I kind of think that when we waste so much money in society, I just fail to see why something as worthwhile as it is isn't sort of funded in its entirety, and to save these people having to sort of constantly think of new ideas to generate the funds. But, you know, I mean, they do a great job, and, you know, hopefully I'll never have to benefit myself from the work that they do. But, you know, in the meantime, loads and loads of people are. So that's the most important thing.
Great. Well, thank you very much.